Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Ask a child what they want to be when they grow up, and you might often hear, I want to play for my county, I want to play for my country. And for some, it's more than a dream, it's their entire identity. They were just born to be an athlete. But what happens when that dream is cut short, when the body, once a source of strength, becomes a barrier? And how do you rebuild your life when everything you've worked for comes to an unexpected halt? Well, joining me to discuss this is David Gillick, who's in the studio with me. David, lovely to have you.
Thanks for having me.
Dearan O'Sullivan, ladies Gaelic footballer, former Cork captain, is on the line. Hello to you, Dearan.
Hi, Claire. How are things?
Good. And Conor Ryan is with us, a hurler from Clare. Hello, Conor.
Hey, Claire. How are you?
Great to have you all with us to talk about this. So, David, I'll start with you. Because I mean, we have this conversation a lot, or I think we tend to think about it a lot when we see people coming to, you know, a certain age where they might have to think about retiring. But it's different when you want to push on and when the miles on the clock tell you that you should be able to push on, but your body just says, no, I'm not having it.
Yeah. Look, you know, from my own experience, I stepped off the track 12 years ago. And initially it's one of these things, I thought I'd be equipped and I thought I'd be okay to do so. But you mentioned the body. Unfortunately, the body just kept breaking down in my late 20s. And it was around about this time of the year, May, 12 years ago, that basically my Achilles, my calf, my soleus just gave up. And, you know, I wanted to continue. I think, you know, you talk about dream as a kid. I wanted to go to the Olympic Games. That's all I ever wanted to do. And when I achieved that in Beijing, I thought, I want to go again. And it was all about London 2012. And then it was Rio. I ended up making one Olympics. And I think you mentioned identity as well. I think everything was kind of evolved around me and my performance. And when you can't do that, that's the most frustrating part of it. And you feel you're left out. You just feel, why is my body doing this to me? You know, you want to continue, but it's just physically impossible.
And there's a lot of anger there as well.
Oh, God. Like, I can tell you some stories, you know, frustration, anger, denial. I was very frustrated at myself. You know, in hindsight, you start looking back and go, why did I make that decision? Why did I go there? Why did I do that? You know, if I didn't do that, I wouldn't have got injured. So all of these things are coming at you thick and fast, and I think it's just turmoil in your mind.
Yeah. And Conor, for you, you know, when I was reading your story, the timeline of it, like, your life was sort of all planned, wasn't it? You were an early starter, if you like, and a big star in your very younger years, and then things changed rapidly for you.
Yeah, I think, well, I don't know if I ever reached the height of a big star, but it was...
Well, you're being modest there now, but I can say it.
I remember when I finished up, my Colm Collins, who was Clare's senior football manager at the time, he was manager of Cratlow too, he said, I did my shopping early. Yeah. And I think, you know, it was. But yeah, you know, it's to David's point there as well, you know, you kind of get wrapped up in all of it. And, you know, when it stops, then you kind of, you're soul searching for a while to figure out a purpose around what's next, you know. And I think GA is a little bit of a unique beast in that sense, because I think when, you know, because it is an amateur sport, you know, it's so crucial that our players are, you know, focusing on life outside of that as well, because it can stop. And when it stops, it's, you know, you have to find that purpose outside of what's going on the field as well.
And were you feeling that something was off before you had that blood test?
I was, yeah. No, to be honest, it was kind of... We had finished up early in 2015 with Clare and with Cratlow, and I just kind of said, you know, I'm going to be in the best shape I could possibly be in come the new season. And around January, February started, you know, I put it down to just bad form. Okay, maybe I'm just training a bit too hard. Maybe I just need to rein it back. And the energy levels are really poor. But it was actually a blood test that we were all asked to do. You know, we had Joe O'Connor was our S&C coach at the time, and our doctor as well, Pádraig Quinn. They'd suggested that all the players do just a health check, get the blood tested, and Pádraig had spotted something, you know, quite alarming in mine. And 2 days later I was in Beaumont just getting tests done. So it was a little bit of I don't feel great, you know, what the hell's going on here? And it was just uncertainty then, more so than anything. But yeah, you at that point, because you're so embedded in sport, it's, you're not really focused on the health, which is a terrible thing to say. It's more, well, when can I get back playing?
And there were all sorts of concerns around what it might be. It seemed it took a little while to figure it out. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, obviously there were, you know, the what they were looking for initially was scary things, but it was then we ultimately couldn't put our finger on why the pituitary gland had just failed and, you know, wasn't working at all. So it was a case of it, you know, hindsight is a great thing, Claire. And looking back, you probably think you could have burnt it out. And, you know, David talks about, God, should I have done this? Should I have done that? I often look back, you know, with no regret at all because I was very lucky, but I often look back and think, should I have maybe reined it in a little bit and not done too much? But no, it did. It took a while to figure out to the point where I took time out. I took a full year out. And yeah, you know, it wasn't correct in itself. My, you know, the testosterone levels needed to play at that level of sports just were absolutely nowhere near where they needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, ultimately took the decision then at 26 to step away from the game, which was challenging.
Yeah, you tell that story of having that conversation with a doctor. I think you said, when will I be ready to go back and play? And you got your answer, which wasn't what you were looking for.
Well, it is. I think there's playing and there's playing at the level required to be successful at that level. And, you know, for me, it was, if was I ever going to be able to go and compete at that level again? And when the answer was a resounding no, it was, yeah, it was, you know, not so much closure at that point because it took me a while to get that. But it was definitely kind of a realization of you have all of this time and effort spent on trying to be the best at your craft.
Mm-hmm.
And now you got to put all that time and effort into something else.
Now, Darren, you're someone else who's really been in the wars and you're still in the wars.
Yeah, the irony of having this conversation now and I've a brace from my hip to my ankle and hobbling around in crutches.
Right.
Yeah, I just got my ninth knee operation now last week.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so that's over a period of 10 years. That's over 12 years. So since I was 18 now, I've had 9 knee operations. So yeah, just wear and tear over the years. And I think, like the lads were saying, you're constantly chasing that day to get back and that fixture to get back. So for me, you know, if doctors or consultants were telling me 6 weeks, I was like in my head, oh, if I double up on sessions, I can get back in 3 weeks or whatever. And I did do that, you know, when I was 18, I was given 6 weeks to be back running or whatever. And I was back after 2.5 weeks. So yeah, like the lads, you kind of do look back now. I'm 30 years of age being like, ooh, should I have tackled that a bit differently?
Mm-hmm. And then did you find it as time went on and the operation started to mount that it was more and more difficult to do that, to sort of push yourself to come back early?
Not mentally, to be honest. I was very driven. I think a big part of that was being part of a team that was successful at the time, you know. I felt massively like I was missing out or, you know, if I wasn't back by June, I had no hope of getting back on a championship team or, you know, so that competitiveness within the team definitely drove me. I didn't struggle, to be honest, mentally a whole pile. It is isolating and you are, I suppose, frustrated and kind of playing the victim. Why me? Why does this keep happening to me? All the other girls are out, you know, training together and I'm in the gym or whatever by myself. But I think it was more physically that as the years went on, everything was taking longer. I suppose I started playing with the Cork seniors when I was 16. So I had a lot of mileage on the legs and playing club football as well at a high level. It was taking my body that bit longer to recover.
And of course, your family steeped in it as well. And your sister Kira retired at the same time as you. Isn't that right?
Yes. Yeah. So I have two older sisters, Roisin and Kira. So I think myself and Maeve being younger, just saw them going off to Cork senior trials and we wanted a bit of that. So yeah, I would have played with the girls all my life, to be honest, especially, yeah, Kira up front, the two of us would have been forwards. So my first year with Cork, I was centre forward and she was wing forward. And then I suppose as I got slower, I got shoved into the full forward line and Kira was out doing the donkey work in the half forward line. So yeah, we would have just known how to play with each other, you know. I remember my marker before in a challenge game goes, geez, you and number 10, you just know how to, she was like, you don't even look when you're passing each other the ball. And I was like, yeah, that's actually my sister. You know, you just have that
special bond.
Yeah, it is like mm-hmm. that. It was just a bit easier to play with her, yeah.
And Conor, one of your big dreams was to play for Clare with your brother. So you missed that. You missed out on that.
Yeah, absolutely. That was, you know, Dermot, it was kind of like a revolving door. You know, Dermot came in just as I was going out, and, you know, I always made the joke that they definitely upgraded, I would have thought. But Dermot, you know, yeah, it was playing on those big days, as, you know, Darren said there, it's very special if you can do it with a family member. And yeah, look, it was something, but you have to be, you know, incredibly proud of going on and seeing what he was able to do in the Clare jersey. But yeah, don't get me wrong, in the years after, it's very challenging to go and, you know, watch games. Obviously, you want the very, very best for your best friends who are still playing, and your family who are involved. But there is that sense of, geez, you know, I wish I was out there. And that there's no denying that it is definitely tough, you know.
And have you managed to sort of square away those regrets now, or are they still there as a niggle?
They're not really. I try not to have regrets, because I find they can anchor you, and you can really, you know, dwell on them too much. I think it's, you know, I've learned from everything that's happened. It's been a huge lesson for me, and, you know, I tend to think I got a lot of resilience out of it as well. And I think that resilience only comes from the adversity at the time. So I think for me, you know, the regrets were kind of, you know, gone, anything that was even a semblance of a regret, because I was lucky enough to, you know, get back, and time heals all wounds, and my medical, you know, issues at the time kind of, you know, recorrected themselves after 7-8 years of not playing, and I was able to get back and thankfully play on the same club team as my brother again. Mm-hmm. Last year, so that was hugely rewarding.
Yeah. And what about for you, David, on the regrets front? You know, you said at the beginning, yeah, I was meant to do 3 Olympics, I did, yeah, one. Have you put that in a box now, or is it still a problem?
No, like, I think it was probably 3 years before I actually got the help that I needed. I think the initial kind of 6 months, it was just relief, because the body, like, I started getting injured in 2011. So it was 2011, 2012, 2013, you know, and the impact that had then on funding, sponsors, you know, my way of life, funding, what I was trying to do. So all of these things are kind of flooding my brain. What am I going to do next? So when I retired, I was actually in Australia, and it was, the initial sort of feeling was relief. It's done. You know, I've had enough. Mm. Let's move on.
But you did have to ask your wife, what do people do on a Saturday?
Yeah, like, we came home to Dublin, and I can remember waking up on a Saturday and kind of thinking, Charlotte, what do normal people do on a Saturday? Because my routine, like, everything was so structured. And it's like the guys were saying there as well, you always have that purpose and that goal. And then the harsh reality of kind of, you know, what do I do next? And then I started kind of beating myself up. I was like, why did you do this? The regrets of going to the States, to America, getting injured. And it probably wasn't until 2016 when I started going to counselling, was when I began to understand, you know, everything that was going on. And that was a massive, massive help, you know, really, really was. And just peeling back the layers of the onion and kind of figuring out why I was behaving and acting certain ways. And, you know, that kind of resentment I had over my career, I blamed my athletics for putting me in the situation I was in, which wasn't fair. You know, the sport gave me an awful lot. So it was a process. And, you know, it's something now I've come to terms with. I've accepted how my career panned out. And I'm actually very grateful for what it's given me. But I think at the time, it's so raw. You want more. You're always striving. And that's the nature of sport. You know, in my game, it was trying to find 0.1 of a second. You know, that's what I wanted.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, we all see you now when you're, I was talking to you about this when you walked in, you know, your broadcasting career now. Yeah. And it's incredible for us to watch you interviewing the athletes, the Irish athletes, when they come off, immediately when they come off the course. And I can see how grateful they are to have you there, because they know that you've been through exactly what they've just experienced.
Yeah, look, it's a privileged position. And I think I've come through the mixed zone, as it's called, where the media are the minute you finish the race,
yeah,
60 seconds, and there you are with a camera and a microphone. I've come through those mixed zones plenty of times on down days. And I think what's nice is when you come up and you see a familiar face, someone that, you know, I suppose can empathise what you're going through, win, lose or draw. And it's just, it's fantastic to give a bit of context to what they're trying to do out on the track, and obviously give them a few moments to gather themselves, because it happens so fast and it's so raw and emotionally charged.
Yeah, Darren, I mean, when it comes to regrets, and I don't want to frame this in a negative way, but I'm just really interested to know, do you feel that your career is what you wanted it to be, or did you have more in the tank had you not had that knee problem?
Yeah, I suppose you started off the conversation, Claire, by saying it was everyone's dream growing up to play intercounty, and that was my dream, and I got to do it. I count myself as one of the lucky ones. I got to do it for 10 years. Would I have done certain things differently? Yes. But when I look back, there are way more pros and cons. I got All-Ireland medals. I got to play with my friends. I got to play with my sisters. I got to play in Croke Park. Mum and dad were there to watch me. I got to represent my club at the highest level. So, like, you can only look or walk away anyway from my point of view. I can't have regrets. I just think what happened, say, when I was 16, just probably wouldn't happen now. So when I look back, my training load was just probably too much. So I would have been playing club football, club basketball, inter-county football, at, you know, under 16, minor, under 21 and senior. So that's a lot of different nights
incredible.
Out.
Incredible.
Yeah, just a lot. So I think now the role of S&Cs and physios, they've become central to every team. So I don't think, you know, somebody would have been doing that now. Like when you look back on the likes of Rena Buckley and Breach Corkery, like they were just a different animal altogether. Like they were out six nights a week, you know, training between Camogie and football. So from that point of view, look, I definitely made mistakes. I was doing probably too much at a young age. But again, like when I look back as a whole, and I've retired now 2 years, so I've had that time to reflect. And no, I have no major regrets. As
but
I said.
I'm sure you couldn't. If someone had tried to stop you, you couldn't be stopped at that time.
No, that was it. And I'd be very stubborn now, even with this rehab. My boyfriend is working from home at the moment and he's going to kill me. I'm trying to move everything along that bit quicker. And I wasn't wearing the brace now this morning and he was chasing me around being like, for the love of God, have you not learned a thing? So I'm still trying to not cut corners, but just try to move things along that
yeah.
faster.
Will you take your time? You have it back on now anyway, you said, so that's good for us. And Conor, what about you? I mean, I'm sure you see people who are exactly like you, you know, pushing it to the max. Is there any point in saying to somebody who's in that zone, listen, you might need to think about how you're dealing with this because this is how it could go?
Yeah, definitely. That's, you know, it's incumbent on me now to look back and, yeah, maybe I was burning it a little bit too much. And I think, you know, I've gone into coaching now and we with the Clare 20s as well. And you see guys coming through and you see guys who are so eager and just want to do great things and want to do great things in a Clare jersey. And they're just so eager to learn. And you'd never want to kind of dampen that enthusiasm. But there is an element of just, you know, listen to the experts and come, you know, to Darren's point, we have such good facilities in the GA now. We've unbelievable resources when it comes to S&C coaches, doctors, physios. Listen to the experts, trust them, trust your own, you know, preparation. But it is, you know, at that age group when you just want everything now and, you know, you want it quick and you want it before you're 20, you want it before you're 21, you want all the success. It is very, very hard to listen, but, you know, it is such a long game now.
Yeah, youth is wasted on the young, right?
There you go.
Listen, thank you all three of you for talking to us. David Gillick, Conor Ryan and Dearan O'Sullivan. And Dearan, you keep that brace on now or you'll be in trouble.